Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with K-State's Dr. Glenn Tonser. Rising cost of gain in the feedlots. We'll get into that today with Glenn in just a moment.
If you're looking to lock in a floor price on your livestock, USDA is offering the Livestock Risk Protection Program to both cow-calf and stocker feeder operators. Coverage is based on a number of head, sex, and projected sale weight. Best of all, no margin calls, brokerage fees, or minimum contract sizes, and no upfront cost to you. Take the risk out of your cattle operation today. Call Dakota Moss at Livestock Risk Services at 580-618-2174 or visit LivestockRiskServices.com for more information.
First tattoo, huh?
Yep, I wanted to read Tough on Aphids, Easy on Ladybugs.
What's the story behind that?
Well, on my farm, I use this powerful stuff from BASF called Safina Inscalis Insecticide.
Sorry, it's gonna sting. So, Safina Insecticide?
It's strong on aphids and quickly limits plant damage, but gentle on ladybugs.
Gentle on ladybugs?
What can I say? I'm a ladybugs man. Be strong and gentle with Safina Insecticide. Ooh, always read and follow label directions.
Extension Livestock Market Economist Dr. Glenn Tonser with us today. He was a guest earlier this week on K-State's Agriculture Today with new hostess Samantha Bennett, talking to her about the cost of gain in feedlots. And Dr. Tonser says it is up dramatically.
You can look back over time at how the cost of putting weight on in a feed yard has varied over time. And the most recent month that I have closed the book on is April of 2022. And the cost of gain on the closeouts in April this year were $120. For context, in 2021, that was $96. So anybody that's good at math knows that's a big percentage jump. And if I keep going back in time, in 2020, it was $87. In 2019, it was $88. And in 2018, it was $79. So we've had a notable increase in the cost to put weight on. This is not unique to the feedlot industry, by the way. The production cost and about everything in our society is higher. But if you want to know why discussion about higher cattle prices, higher livestock prices, more generally higher meat prices is at play, the cost of producing those items, and in this case, the cost of putting pounds on in a feed yard, is up notably compared to just a year ago and certainly compared to 3 and 4 years ago.
Dr. Tonser says there's two things that really sticks out in his mind that's pushed those cost of gain figures sky high.
Feed cost, so anybody that's following corn prices compared to before sees that, and labor cost. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's still a challenge to secure and keep labor, and if you do, you're probably paying a much higher wage than you were in the past.
So production costs are up. Unfortunately, beef demand is softening, according to Dr. Tonser.
The two things I want to pull information from are, one is a beef and pork checkoff supported project called the Meat Demand Monitor that's based here at K-State, and then some USDA information. So they're two different sources. They both have some similar trends to them here. But the MDM project gives us insights on the month of May. Retail, so think grocery store, as well as food service, so think restaurants. Meat demand in both market channels domestically was down in May compared to April. Mm-hmm. Net pay is declined for the majority of folks when you account for inflation. The average U.S. resident is quite pessimistic about the general financial and economic situation. It's not surprising when that's the case and they're having net pay decline, they're tightening their belt. As an example of the changes they're making, one of the things we track in that meat demand monitor now is we just ask a direct question in response to higher retail meat prices, what are you doing? Two-thirds say they're making some type of a change. And the most common change, and we found this, I believe, for 4 months in a row, is they're buying the same preferred item. So the same branded or unbranded, the same cut, they're just buying fewer of them. And it aligns with my comment about meat demand slipping some in the month of May. Early signs for June is it may have slipped more as well. But again, that's me kind of guessing 2 weeks before we've ended the data collection.
Dr. Tonser mentioned earlier that he also follows some USDA data regularly when it comes to meat demand.
I mentioned this MDM is a survey-based effort, which many of our listeners are aware of because I talk about it regularly. But I get information that's another month older from USDA. Try not to confuse people, but there are different ways to look at demand, and they vary in exactly the depth and precision that they give us. But for the month of April, that's the most recent we can look at with USDA data, is domestic meat demand was down for March, about 10%, whether we look at beef, pork, or poultry demand. Importantly, in April, beef and pork demand were still up from April of 2021. So April or May probably was the switch point for pretty much the whole quote-unquote pandemic, and now I hope post-pandemic period, if that term exists here, mm-hmm. is we may have hit a high water mark on domestic meat demand, and I think it's a natural response to, again, the net pay decline. Who knows what the months ahead, you know, hold if inflation gets tamed down some. Maybe that story changes, but the domestic demand per USDA, started to decline in April, and it started to decline in May per the Meat Demand Monitor. As I always describe demand as a three-legged stool. We have domestic grocery store, we have domestic food service, and then we have export. Those are the three market channels for all our meat products. And April, export, so demand from foreign buyers for U.S. meat, beef, pork, and broiler demand was all down compared to March, so month over month was declines. Beef remains up from April of 2021. For several months now, beef demand has been higher by foreign buyers for U.S. beef than it was the year before. Export demand is always important, but it's extra important if we have some strength there or less weakness maybe than we have domestically, because it can mitigate some of the downward pressure that comes from domestic meat demand slipping.
Dr. Glenn Tonser, you've got the beef buzz on Ron.
If there's anything the past 2 years have taught us, it's that people don't always get along and they certainly don't always agree on everything. Now, while we can't help you with your Facebook debates, we can help with resolving many types of agriculture and environmental related issues at no cost. Oklahoma Agriculture Mediation has been helping Oklahomans resolve conflicts since 1987, and we're here to help you. And the best thing is we can do it without having to go to court. So if you have a conflict that might need some mediation, get more information at ok.gov/mediation.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.